This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio. Coming to you live from FUBAR HQ, the show all about fantasy football. This is Good Team on Paper. Introducing our team managers, Rob, the football know-it-all, Deck, the fantasy legend, Bundo, the stats man, and Mike, the producer.
You like that, don't you, Mike, the producer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think, you know, it's forceful, yet also a little bit of a dig.
What, that I know nothing, or that...
Yeah, and Mike, what can we say about Mike? Well, I mean, he's the producer. Mike the producer!
Considering I wrote that script, I was very much going, yeah, what am I? What do I do? Okay, fine, I'll write.
Mike, technically a man!
Maybe that'll be the next iteration of the intro. This week we are deckless and matless.
Careful how you say that.
Yes. So instead we have got, usually, he's hidden in the background and he's fact-checking, I think is probably the best words for it. It's Ali!
Woo! Oh, woo!
Hey!
Voice of the station, baby.
Yeah. So how are you, Ali?
I'm good, thank you. I'm sorry that I heavily loaded that intro to make you like to belittle you. It was not intentional. I apologise.
I'm all in favour of it.
Oh, okay. I'll do some more.
But you call me a know-it-all, so I'm going to be happy because I'm taking know-it-all as a compliment rather than a critique.
Yeah, that's fair.
When in reality, if when you get called a know-it-all at school, it's your teacher basically saying, "Shut up, you prick."
Yeah, sit down.
You know, and apparently no one likes a know-it-all or a smart-ass or a telltale. What are the other things that no one likes? A bedwetter.
Yeah, I was going to say piss yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of things that no one likes. No one likes a nose picker. No one likes someone who walks into the room, farts and runs out. found that out at a wedding.
What was that you then? Did you say, well, hey!
It's how I announce myself. Is Rob here? Yes. I can sense him through my nose and turning stomach.
This is Good Team on Paper. If you want to drop us a line or anything like that, we are live. goodteam@fubarradio.com or contact us via the Facebook or the Twitter, FubarFC, using the hashtag GTOPaper.
And our most recent review, and I quote, "No knowledge about football, shit banter."
If you want to write comments and reviews on iTunes, please do better than that.
Yeah, at least use more creative language.
Yeah, should we move on to the next phase of the show?
Why not? I mean, we've burnt 2 minutes. We've burnt through that first 2 minutes.
Time for a bit of this. The Dream Team. Although there is no Dream Team. Sorry to for everyone who was hoping to have a wonderful Dream Team and have me read it out excellently. Yes, I
did
last week.
Why are we doing it then? Why are we doing this?
Well,
mainly so I can say I'm still reigning champion.
Oh,
yeah,
there we go.
Yeah. It's like when you play Shithead. Do you know the game Shithead? Cards?
Shithead?
Yeah. Do you not know the game?
No, I just thought I'd
Well, basically, you play the game, and the last person to have any cards is Shithead.
Okay.
But it's location specific. So I played Shithead in New York 9 years ago. I am still New York Shithead. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's like the whole concept of... you are reigning world champions if you beat the reigning world champions.
Yeah.
So whoever the last team to beat Germany was are technically world champions according to that method.
Yeah, it's like winner stays on, isn't it? Like pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not always technically the case, though, is it? Like in America?
It's never the case.
Well, no, because in America as well, they like to play the World Series. Mm. As we know, the rest of the world are not involved in that series. Yeah. It's a lie.
There's only really Cuba and Japan that could be involved, isn't it?
Yeah. Dominican Republic are really into their baseball as
well.
Are
they?
Yeah.
But don't basically all their best players swim across the... see, and well, strangely get accepted by the border guards. Oh, you're really good at baseball. We don't mind that you're an illegal immigrant.
I was going to say they're flown there and probably given visas, but if you want to go down that route, you're very
welcome.
No,
a lot of them are illegal when they first arrive.
Allegedly.
Where's Deck?
he's spinning somewhere. Not a gym class.
No, I think he's on a train from back... he's on a train somewhere.
Yeah, he's been scouting for
girls,
fancy football stats in Edinburgh.
He's going to have a long search there.
Yeah.
And Matt's doing it in Devon, I think. Yeah. So
I believe Cornwall.
Oh, right.
Devon's shitty half-sister.
Very well known for pasties.
This is me
but
eating
not
a nut.
But not the ones on your nipples. So, yeah. Right, so there's no dream team. I'm still reigning champion. Shall we...
Well, let's talk about the fact that it was a really, really dull England game.
Oh, God. Yeah, not as good as the one in the week. The Germany game was much better.
The Germany game was all right.
Yeah.
I mean, lit up by that Podolski goal. Bravo, yeah. Sir. That's how you bow out of international football.
You knew he was trying it, though, for the whole game. Because he had a couple in the first half, and he was trying to hit from long range.
But the fact that he can do that, you've got to wonder, why was he never being played at Arsenal?
That's true, but was it not more of a fitness thing? Doesn't Wenger have a very high threshold that the players have to operate at for fitness?
I don't know, but he's always had the talent, and he's always scored a lot of goals. And then he goes to Arsenal, and all of a sudden he's not even getting on the bench.
No.
Well, he's getting on the bench, he's not getting off the bench. It's a peculiar...
It is. But it was a good send-off for him, in any case, wasn't it?
But they missed a trick. They should have, basically, when he finished his celebration, substituted him immediately. Yeah. So that he could have just gone off almighty cheer. Or put him in goal.
Yeah, England weren't going to score at that point. That would have been fine.
It was... I mean, the Lithuania game, it was drab and uninspiring.
It was, wasn't it? I think Gareth Southgate's obviously experimenting with different formations. Yeah. And players as well. There were people coming onto the pitch as substitutes. You think, well, you're not going to play, really, are you?
No, and good for him, though, doing that. Because normally in this situation, they play the same old, same old.
Yeah.
How what's his chops? John Stones is getting a game. I have literally no idea.
No, he was getting slagged off this week by Eric Cantona. I don't know if you saw that.
No,
it was Eric Cantona says that the reason he's so slow is because he's dragging a giant trailer behind him.
Is he talking about his butt?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I haven't looked at his butt.
Because that's what the that wagon you're dragging. That's what
maybe.
That's what American people say, isn't it?
They always used to say
love that wagon you're dragging.
The wagon you're dragging. That's what they used to say about Kenny Dalglish. Big bum.
Right.
Low centre of gravity.
But amazing talent.
Yeah.
Whereas John Stones, I'm yet to see more... Yeah, I'm yet to see enough to warrant a place.
I agree.
Fair play to... just got a picture here of Kyle Walker being very happy. And he... He's made himself undroppable.
Definitely. I mean, who's his main sort of threat for his place?
Right back.
Klein?
Yeah, I suppose so.
So there's not much of a threat, really.
No. Well, he's neither as good defensively or offensively. No. And so he's a good backup, but much like Bertrand is a very decent backup to Danny Rose.
Danny Rose.
I think Danny Rose is the incumbent, and that must make you... very happy indeed.
Yeah, I love it. I love the fact that Spurs have got so many players in the England squad at the minute. I mean, it's a bit of a worry every time we play because I think, shit, someone's going to get injured. And it has happened for us quite often, actually. Dawson got a nasty injury years ago. Lennon picked up a nasty one. Ledley King.
Who missed all his England games because he had biscuit legs.
I quite like this article that says goal scorer Jermaine Defoe says vegan diet and discipline are paying off.
That's the old thing, isn't it? How can you tell if someone's a vegan? They'll fucking tell you. Shut up, Defoe. Eat some burgers. Jesus Christ, you're only 34.
Yeah, that's the other thing as well, is like when you get to a certain age and you start realising that a lot of the footballers are younger than you are.
Yeah.
And then you look at them, they're going, oh, you're the veteran, 34. Fuck off.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's only 34. Yeah.
He's still got a whole life ahead of him, basically.
Well, yeah. But I mean, they're making out like this is Lazarus. Yeah. It's like Shearer's left the commentary booth, put his boots on, and come down. He's 34 and he's a professional athlete. It's not.
And he's a vegan.
Linford Christie was still running under 10 seconds.
He won his gold medal when he was 34.
Yeah.
He was the fastest man on earth at 34. I don't think you can be wowed that someone whose entire life should have been dedicated to athletic supremacy is still able to run at 34.
Yeah. I think it's probably just the commentator's a little bit jealous.
Well, he's accredited apparently his recent switch to a vegan diet as partly behind his continued excellence and top level at Sunderland.
And the reason that he's got no friends left. There's another joke that works much better in cartoon form, but I've started it, so I'm going to tell you. And it's basically you're on an aeroplane and an announcement comes over the tannoy saying, if there's a doctor on the plane, can you please let yourself known? And a hand goes up and says, I'm a vegan. Because they have to tell everyone all the time.
You've told that on the show before.
Have I?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But it's a good one. Don't worry.
We've gone full circle, guys.
What happens?
We're in the nether zone.
It only took 30 shows-ish.
Well, it took me 30 weeks to get into Maddie's nether zone. It's all right. She doesn't listen to the show.
Hello, Maddie. Don't worry. I'll tell her next time I see. What is it? It's game week 30. Was that right? No, next week is game week 30. So it's game week 29.
29 this week,
just gone. I want to bring up the political reference. Shouldn't it be game week 50?
Oh, well.
Hey.
Well,
Deck, where are you?
I'm very interested in how Brexit is going to affect our place in European football.
In whose place in European football?
English clubs.
Oh, okay.
Not Leeds.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes you talk about them quite a lot.
No, but for what it's worth, the UEFA coefficient, Leeds were the best team in Europe for 3 years in the 70s.
In the 70s?
Yeah. The 1970s. It's recent. It's still, you know... I was in the 70s, so it counts. but, basically, we don't yet know if French people, for example, French footballers, are going to need a visa and a work permit to play in the UK. They probably will, because we're not going to have freedom of borders anymore.
Is that the case? That if you're already here, you're living and you're working, you're going to have to get a permit?
Well,
is that the deal?
I believe everything's on the table at the minute, but the way they're talking, the European Union have all the cards.
Okay.
We have no cards because basically we're leaving a club and you can't say, I'm leaving, but when I go, I demand that you give me that chandelier. Hmm. They'll say, I'm sorry.
That's what Sanchez is doing.
I'm sorry, Mr. Cromwell. I'm sorry, Mr. Cromwell. You're very welcome to leave the club, but you're taking fuck all with you. We're keeping everything.
Oh, I don't like that.
Including your membership fee.
Hmm.
And so, you know, there's every chance that UK players are going to struggle to get moves overseas because of prohibitive...
Yeah, because that's a massive problem at the moment, isn't it? We've got so many players playing abroad.
No, they're struggling to get jobs overseas.
it might make English football English again. People might quite enjoy watching that. Well, no, they probably won't, actually. But
in fairness, I'd welcome it because it was the start of British football losing its soul. Was, you know, when Nicola Ventola came over from Italy.
Good reference.
With his giant honker. And moved to Nottingham Forest.
He was the saviour of Nottingham Forest, wasn't he? Was it Brian Clough's last season?
Maybe. Brian Clough was so pissed all that season. Yeah, he didn't know what was going on. But it was a very slow influx at first. And then the floodgates opened. And then now all of a sudden, English players are dramatically... British players are dramatically in the minority in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And I for one, would welcome it because, all this talk of how to have a strong England team, English players, that's it. It's the beginning, the end, middle and the end of the story. But, I worry about what it's going to do because overnight, players' contracts could be completely invalidated.
Mm. Well, it might be interesting. We might have a second Bosman.
Yeah.
It'd be like whoever's the first player just to get out of their contract and go to whoever they want to.
Yeah.
That'll be the name of that ruling.
Well, yeah, because, you know, for example, let's say Santi Cazorla.
Mm. You couldn't call it the Santi Clause.
Yeah, oh, that would be amazing. And you win 5 points for that. But, you know, he, for example, might be able to get a work permit to stay over here. Doesn't necessarily extend to his wife and kids.
Yeah.
And if it does, then all of a sudden you've got nurses going, how come he can get one and I can't when I'm I'm a more essential worker than him. I think there's a hornet's nest about to be opened in football, and I think the Premier League are probably shitting themselves a bit.
There already is a little bit of one, because don't a lot of foreign players, when they, you know, transfer deadline day, they get work permits, rush through the Home Office.
Yeah.
And that seems a bit
very,
wrong as well.
It's very questionable, isn't
it? It is, yeah, all of it. Yeah, actually.
Especially when they've made it so much harder in the lower leagues to sign anyone that isn't European. They've made it nigh on impossible, because in order to get a work permit to play at the lowest level of English football, if you're an Argentine, for example, and you just want to make a living playing football, you come over here and they go, when was the last time you played in an international? And they go, well, I've never played in an international because Argentina's got, you know, 10 of the world's top 100 players. Yeah. And they go, oh, right, well, you can't come in then. But if Man United want to sign the same player, oh, it's all right, we'll wave him in. It's fine, because you might make him an international player. This is the bullshit that lower league clubs have to deal with. The rank hypocrisy. God, I hate the FA.
As we seem to be talking a little bit about this, should we talk about some transfer rumours?
I've got
transfer rumours. It's on page 2 of your running order.
I've not read that far, ever.
I'm there.
It's like church on page 2 of your schedule this week. So transfer rumours. Eden Hazard is looking to go to Real Madrid for around about £100 million.
Oh, they should ask for that in euros. It's the pound is going to fall off another cliff tomorrow. I'd reassess.
Eden Hazard is, the Spanish Giants want him this summer. And
tell me what you know about Eden Hazard, Mike.
He's Belgian.
Okay.
And he's a drum and bass DJ. And he's actually doing a back-to-back session with DJ Hype in a couple of weeks' time.
Is he really?
Yes.
You're not being sarcastic?
There is a DJ called DJ Hazard.
Ah, okay. Is he called DJ Hazard or is he called DJ Hazard?
Hazard.
Yeah.
Is that because he's really dangerous?
Yeah.
Possibly. I'll play you some of his filthy music later if you really want.
Ooh, saucy.
Yeah, anyway, so yes, for £100 million, he's potentially going to Real Madrid.
And if thing is, I think they're undervaluing him if Pogba's worth 90.
Well, Pogba isn't worth 90, so that's
he's
why.
Worth what people pay for him.
That's true.
I think they could probably ask for 130 for Hazard based on what other people have gone for.
Well, they go for that sort of figure in basketball, don't they? Basketball transfers are quite large.
But they don't actually have transfer fees, do they?
Do they not?
I don't know. Mm. I don't know how America... I'm going to America. I'll ask.
Yeah.
I'll ask the sports teams.
Definitely.
Because one of the places I'm going is Vegas, and they've just got their first American football team.
Perfect.
The Oakland Raiders, who used to be in LA and then moved to Baltimore and then moved to Oakland and then moved back to LA for a bit, and now they're moving to Las Vegas. And that's what's going to happen. Mark my words, that will happen.
Well, Manchester United will move to London.
No, but Manchester United will never leave Manchester, but you will have teams move like the MK Dons did. That will happen in the Premier League. It will become a franchise system eventually.
So Sunderland will move to London.
Sunderland will move wherever the crowd is. Seriously. No, seriously. For example, you will have people going, oh, God, there's a huge area without a Premier League football club in the southwest. Let's move there.
They're going to move to Cornwall, aren't they?
No, they'll move to Bristol, though.
Maybe.
Well, it will happen.
Yeah, just because the amount of money that's involved.
Yeah,
and people chasing the dollar.
And it's going to be cheaper than actually getting a team promoted. It's going to be cheaper just to build a stadium and move them. Mm. Because as well, building a stadium in London costs 5 times as much as building a stadium anywhere else in the country. It's going to happen. You heard it here first.
Slightly off point, I think it's quite interesting that they're going to be doing a T20 game based around cities. But that's a different matter completely.
Mm, it is. That's for... Good cricket team on paper.
Yes.
As
good team on wicket.
You keep pitching it every show.
Good team on wicket, it will be. That's, to come. But, apparently Chelsea are very open to signing, letting him to go to Real Madrid. I imagine it's one of these things, just like, if you give us the £100 million, you can go. That's kind of fine. I think, is that kind of how you're reading that statement, or is that... me just being...
I think they maybe had to... When he signed his new contract, I think he probably played hardball and said, if one of these three teams come in for me, Barcelona, Real Madrid, and, I don't know, Ajax.
Swansea. I'd say it's probably in his contract. There's a select number of clubs. He would have maybe three in there.
Yeah, and every contract has a buyout clause in there. Someone recently had their buyout is set at, I think it's Ronaldo actually, has his set at 1 billion euros.
That's ridiculous.
But the thing is, you have to make it ridiculous because otherwise China would have gone for it.
Well, I feel like there should be mandatory buyout clauses for players because they have that in Spain.
Right, okay.
Every single Spanish player in their contract, I mean, it might be an astronomical figure, but at least it's in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the player has to agree to it.
Okay.
So I think that they should do that here. I think it would help maybe a little bit with the inflated prices for English players.
Yeah, because do you remember a couple of years back, they introduced this thing where you could buy out your own contract just by paying off the value of it.
That's right, yeah.
But I've not heard of a single player doing that.
Well, because they earn, I suppose they've got such big contracts at such a young age, they haven't actually built up any wealth over
time. Well, yeah, but you think about, for example, Raheem Sterling. Mm. Let's say at Liverpool he was on 100 grand a week. I don't think he was on that much, but let's say he was. Mm. That's 5 million a year. He had a 5-year contract. He could have bought himself out for 25 million and then sold himself to Man City for the fee he went
That's
for
a good point,
and
actually.
Pocketed 22 million.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested in finding that out. I shouldn't be just talking about hypotheticals. I should do the research. But I'm very busy.
So there's a guy here written my piece of paper called Bastian. Mm.
It's short for Sebastian.
Okay.
Normally you'd think go for Seb. Yeah. No, fuck that shit.
Bastian.
I'm going to go for Bastian.
Schweinsteiger.
Schweinsteiger.
Yep.
It means pig fucker.
Okay.
It doesn't mean big.
No, I had to check with that, yet.
Why haven't I heard about him? I've been doing this show for, 6 months now?
I think we actually mentioned him last week.
Oh, okay. Shows how much I was listening.
But, no, he was one of the best. I mean, he lifted the World Cup 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, 4 or 5 years ago, he was one of the best players in the world. He was excellent. He's a box-to-box midfielder. Mm. Superb.
Been doing the show 5-6 months before that. Didn't have a clue. Didn't actually give a care about football. I need to know these names.
Was he German captain?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
When they won the World Cup.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's a World Cup winning. the current World Cup winning captain. Yeah.
He's reigning champion.
Yeah, and he's going to a mediocre MLS club.
Yeah, I can only think it's injuries. Either that or he's just an alcoholic.
Possibly. I mean, his face definitely doesn't fit at Man United. No. That's for certain. Because a player of his quality.
But he's going to Chicago Fire.
Yeah. Ooh. I'm going to Chicago. I'll catch up with him and ask him.
If you wouldn't mind.
I am literally going all over America. I'm gonna find someone who cares about fantasy football.
Take a dictaphone with you.
Oh.
Report back.
My watch just told me that what I just did was a great workout. The other day, it congratulated me when I ate a biscuit.
Are you running on the spot, or are you doing lots of wrist action that we can't see? Is that what's going on?
I'll discuss that with you after the break. Oh, see that? That is professional segueing into Breaktown.
Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
Your way home, are you? We know the deal. Late finish your work, dinner from anything left in the fridge, sex with the same attractive young wife. But what if you want something different? Something older? Something that won't bite? Well, you can always get what you really want with Deliveroonie, the octogenarian working girl delivery service. Gum jobs, rim jobs, and shaky Parkinson's hand jobs. Everything you need for the perfect night in. Now also delivering Werther's Originals, hair plugs, and super injunctions. Download the app today.
FUBAR Radio is proud to be an official partner of Stand and Calling 2017. This year's festival is taking place from the 27th to the 30th of July, with a lineup which includes
Orbital, Clean Bandit, Slaves,
Akala,
Nadia Rose,
as well as DJ sets from
Mike Skinner and Merkage,
Joe Goddard from Hot Chip,
and Faithless.
FUBAR Radio will be bringing bringing the hottest stand-up talent to the brand new comedy stage, featuring James A. Acaster. For more information and to buy tickets, go to www.standandcalling.com and keep listening to FUBAR Radio for exclusive offers and giveaways in the lead-up to this summer's big event. FUBAR Radio, an official partner of Stand and Calling.
Hello, I'm the great Troy Deeney. You probably know me best from scoring great game-changing Premier League goals for Watford. But my first love has always been the magical art of illusion. That's why for Christmas, I'm releasing the great Troy Deeney's incredible box of tricks. Your child, or childlike human, will love this fun kit, including all my most famous tricks. The vanishing defender. The ball through the wall. And the rescinded red card. They're all in there. As is my crowd-pleasing, make the Champions League spot disappear trick. I pulled on both Man United and Chelsea last year. My illusions will surprise and astound your friends, family, or other captive audiences. So this Christmas, don't play on your ex's box or poker man. Buy the great Troy Deeney's incredible box of tricks and let some magic into your life.
Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
And that is why I said no.
Okay, but if Rob, you didn't have to do it.
I know, but you know, he already had his cock out. I want to do a stat attack.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, shall we break out the penis conversation? But we'll do that later. It's fine.
Cock talk.
Stats attack. Right. Okay. Matthew's not here. Who's the all hail the stats man?
He's in his shoddy little hotel room. His little grief hole.
Probably listening right now.
Yeah.
Hi, Matt.
Yeah.
Hi, Matt.
Are you miserable, Matt? Are you hating being away from us whilst we ruin your show?
I like Cornwall. It's very nice. But anyway, as he's not here, we're doing a stats attack, but we've got really no stats to do, so I dug some out, and they may be relevant. They may not be. But anyway, it's a joint effort, so let's do this.
Stat attack.
Go on, Mike.
Oh, okay.
It's your show. Lead the way, sir.
Liverpool are unbeaten in 21 of their last 22 home matches.
I'm going to take umbrage with the way you've worded that.
Right.
Because you can't be unbeaten in 21 of 22.
I didn't write that one.
No, that was me.
Okay, well, I'm taking umbrage with you for saying it and you for allowing it in. Because what you can say is that they've only lost one of their last 22 games.
Right.
But
it looks more impressive like that, though.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But it's still, it's errant.
I apologise.
Feel chastised, sir.
It is interesting though, because they're playing at home this weekend, aren't they? They're playing Everton, they're probably going to win.
Let's start over.
Stat attack.
So Liverpool have lost one of their last 22 games
at
home.
Yes. There we go.
Yes, Mike.
That's impressive. That is impressive.
Yeah,
that
is
must
impressive.
Be amongst the best home records in the country.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the way Mike said it.
And yeah. Paused for effect. Like bears, they've got paws for effect.
Rob, what's the next one?
They're on average, in Southampton's last six games, there have been over 2.5 goals. That's clearly come from a betting site.
Point of interest.
Because no one else refers to half goals on the gambling sites.
But are we rounding up or down, or is it just...
Yeah, well, basically... No, I mean, what it means is there will be three goals or more, but they don't say that for some reason.
No, well...
They like ambiguous language.
Well, really, they should have said three, because, as we all know, 2.5 rounded up is three.
But I suppose if you're saying more than 2.5, you'd have to say three or more.
No.
So it's slightly more economical language-wise.
You could just say about three.
Yeah, but basically, if you're betting on high-scoring games, bet on the Dell.
Yeah,
St. Mary's. I'm just gonna stick with the Dell. I liked the slanting stand.
Yeah, and the 16,000 capacity.
Yeah, and the fact that Mark Hughes once scored a goal against Leeds that came, that he hit it so hard it came back off the advertising hoardings at the back of the goal. And he was the only person who knew he'd scored. He went off celebrating, everyone else carried on playing, they thought he'd hit the post. It was brilliant. Michael Bridges scored a hat-trick that day.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, I can bring Leeds into any conversation.
It's true.
Next stat.
The next stat. Arsenal have got their opponents red-carded the most times in the Premier League this season, and that is with 4 sendings off because they are dirty scum.
Stat attack.
Or is it because of the kind of game they employ?
Yeah.
And their
diving, cheating.
Their possession-led football.
Yeah.
And stuff, and they've got quite a few tricksy players that... More people are more likely to get 2 yellow cards against them.
No, I completely disagree with that.
they're just diving scum.
Yeah, they're diving scum.
Well, they're certainly diving down the league.
Yeah.
That must make you so happy.
Yeah, it's the best thing. It's the best. Like, keep Wenger in. Whatever you do, just keep him in his job.
Rob, can you bring that back to Leeds by any way possible?
We used to get players sent off against Arsenal quite a lot and against Tottenham. So, against everyone, basically.
Yeah. Just need to start playing.
Got a bit
football,
of a history,
really,
of it.
Roma captain Francesco Totti.
There you go.
Yeah.
Is now 40.
Wow.
Shall we sing happy birthday? He's 40 today.
Unbelievable.
And he's still going strong.
And he's still walking, let alone running. I mean, I am shocked.
He can't feed himself.
Take that, Defoe, you bell.
But do you want to know? That's beside the point. Do you want to know the stats?
Yes.
32% of players in the Serie A season.
Oh dear.
Serie A, oh fine.
Yep.
Weren't born when Totti made his debut appearance 24 years ago.
That's amazing. Yeah, that is amazing.
That is a
point of interest.
I think that's the best point of interest the whole season.
It says a lot about Italy, though. Yeah. Like, is it just full of young people? No one over the age of 24 wants to be in Italy.
I think what it says about Italy is that you've got those very old women who make ragu. And then you've got young footballers and Francesco Totti in the middle, wondering where everyone else has fucked off to.
Why am I so alone?
Now, give me some more ragu. I was in Italy a couple of years back, and one of the first things I saw in Rome was a priest on a moped smoking a fag who set off by going, ciao! It was the most Italian thing you could possibly think of. And that really happened.
Nice.
It's like, describe Italy. Boom. There you go.
It's like a Rocky movie.
It's a priest outside the Vatican on a moped smoking a fag and saying, ciao. Just throw an espresso in there and you are golden.
He probably had an espresso before he left.
Yeah. On Totti, have you ever seen him play live?
Not in person, no, but I've seen him in a match that's been broadcast on television.
Because I know that technically he's good.
Yeah.
But I've seen it, like, Leeds, when Leeds were good, we played Roma quite a lot. And so I think it was either 4 or 6 games we played against Roma in
the
space of 3.
This is in the 70s, yeah?
No, in the late 90s, early noughties, because we had them in the UEFA Cup and we had them in the Champions League. And he just wasn't very good. In the game at Elland Road, he got so annoyed that he kicked someone and got sent off.
Ooh.
And he just wasn't very good. And I've never quite understood why he's held in such high regard. It's like Juan Verón. Whenever I saw him, I was like, meh. I just don't get it.
Totti didn't play for... He didn't play for Man United, did he?
No, he's only ever played for Roma.
He's only ever played for Roma.
Mm.
Hmm. Maybe that's why he's not actually that good, because he's not...
Yeah,
good enough to play for anyone else.
Maybe, but I mean, yeah, he's definitely a good footballer.
Mm.
I'm not disputing that. All I'm saying is that in the white hot cauldron of Elland Road, he couldn't hack it. Not many can.
Stat
mate.
Attack.
Yeah,
we're back.
Next one.
It's you, isn't it?
It's you, mate.
No, I've done mine.
All right.
I did my Roma one. Totti.
Do you know the Premier League fixtures with the most red cards?
No, because it's not in front of me.
Well, I'm going to shock you here. The Merseyside Derby.
Which is coming up this weekend.
Filthy fuckbag Steven Gerrard leading the way. 21 red cards in the Premier League. Whoa. That's one a season.
So, basically. 20 of those are Steven Gerrard, yeah. Is that right?
Liverpool Man United is next, with Steven Gerrard leading the way again with 16. And then, weirdly, you really wouldn't predict this next one. It's Everton Newcastle with 15.
No.
I've never thought of that as a bad-tempered game. How are Chelsea not in there at all?
That's true. I mean, you'd have to look at the teams that have been in the Premiership for the most number of seasons.
Yes.
And then weigh up.
But Newcastle have been out thrice.
Yeah, they have actually. But they didn't start the Premier League, did they? It was two seasons where they weren't in it.
Keggles came in and they rose like a phoenix.
I guess Everton actually... Deck's not here, so I can say this. Yeah, they're pretty fucking dirty, Everton.
Well,
so
they're Duncan Ferguson.
Duncan Ferguson, yeah.
He was so hard, Mike, that he headbutted a man and got sent to prison. He headbutted the man on the pitch.
Wow.
Yeah, when he was playing for Rangers. He walked up behind him, nutted him, prison.
And they put him on the bench now, and he doesn't do anything. He just sits there and stares at the players until they play well.
Yeah. It's been reported that half of the Everton squad have soiled themselves during training.
They have. It's true.
Because you would not fuck with Duncan Ferguson.
Why is he still allowed near the field?
He's not playing anymore.
Right, okay.
He's retired now, but he basically is an Everton legend. He's got an Everton tattoo, and that's where you know you've got commitment.
Yeah, definitely.
When they get a tattoo of a team that they didn't start at, it's like Vinnie Jones. He's got two tattoos of football clubs. Wimbledon, who he won the FA Cup with, and Leeds United.
You knew
it was going to be Leeds United.
Wow.
He played for us for one season. We got promoted from Division 2 to the top flight.
One season.
One season. He came in, he did a job.
That's a big commitment.
He was in a midfield engine room that included Chris Kamara.
Engine room.
And Imre Vardy.
That's a name I've never heard.
Well, actually, first show we did, I think, I mentioned him, Ray Berardi.
Ooh.
Left foot like a cannon.
Showed myself up there a little bit, I'm sorry.
Yeah. it's all right.
Anyway, I feel that is a...
Point of interest.
Point of interest.
For Leeds fans.
Both with the Premier League thing and your Vinnie Jones anecdote.
Yeah, there we go.
Final
stat attack.
So, the final stat attack.
The penultimate. I've got one more.
Oh, you got one more. The penultimate one. This goes back to our international football discussion earlier about England and why they're crap. So only one English international player now manages in the top two divisions. So you've got 40 managers. Oh, no, 44 managers? However many managers in the top two divisions. But there's only one that's English and has played for England at international level. And I wanted to ask you, Rob, who that was.
Oh, shit. Okay.
It's quite difficult because...
Whilst
you're thinking, I'll go through that the country that has the most number of internationals in the top two divisions is Spain. They've got 10 managers who have played for Spain at international level.
Okay.
Italy have got 7, Germany have got 3. France have got 2, and England only has 1. And it's not somebody you'd expect it to be.
Well, did Steve Bruce ever get an England cap?
He didn't. No, he didn't.
Okay,
he
which is shocking in itself. If you were a football fan, you'd be shocked that Steve Bruce...
Yeah, I mean, he was a captain of a championship-winning team.
So. Do you want a minute to think about it?
Why, have you got something you can play for a minute? Yes.
So, our very lovely Niall Ranger is back in his Western adventures. Why are you rolling your eyes, Ali?
Because he's a pain in the arse.
Anyway, here is the latest instalment of Niall Ranger.
Niall Ranger, the game we arranger! Ha-ho, David Silva, away!
Responding to the postponement of various fixtures due to clashes with the FA Cup and European competitions, Niall Ranger strives to deliver a complete Premier League schedule in the lawless West.
The game we arranger!
Calling club secretaries to agree mutually agreeable new dates for both teams, including sufficient provision for policing.
The game we arranger!
Bringing dreams and despair to fancy Premier League managers everywhere with a mysterious pattern of double and blank game weeks.
The game we arranger!
Sunderland versus Crystal Palace?
The game we arranger!
Southampton's two games in hand?
The game we arranger!
Potential blank game week for West Bromwich Albion in week 34?
The game we arranger! David Silva, away!
Nile Ranger will return in 2 weeks' time.
I told you he was a dick.
I tell you, for someone who's been accused of some fairly serious crimes, he can bang in goals at a lower level. He really can. I think I've got it.
Have you got it?
All right, recap. What's the question?
The question was, only one English international player now manages in the top two divisions out of the 44 teams that this could be.
Mm. Who do you think it is, Rob? I think that if you give him a ball in a yard of grass, he'll set you up with a perfect pass. Ooh. To quote the Sultans of Ping. Is it Nigel Clough?
It is Nigel Clough.
Yay!
Well done.
Yeah, the Sultans of Ping were big Nottingham Forest fans. They did Where's My Jumper?
Okay.
And they also did a lot of songs about Nottingham Forest players.
Fair enough.
Check them out. Where's My Jumper is a great song.
Final
stat attack
from Rob.
Gianluigi Buffon.
Yes.
The world's most expensive ever goalkeeper, the world's arguably best ever goalkeeper, played his 1,000th game at the weekend.
Whoa.
Congratulations. Well done.
For being
bravo,
old.
Sir. For still being arguably Italy's best goalkeeper at the age of, I think, 42.
Whoa.
I believe the game had to be postponed because so many flares went off that seriously? They couldn't see.
My God.
Yeah. Well, it's Italy.
Yeah.
It's what they do. But he's still keeping goal for Juventus, and he's basically the oldest man in the world. So,
Goalie's in a, you know, a position where age doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but as well, Buffon has looked old from a very young age.
Yeah, that's true.
He's got Diego Costa-ing of the face. He just looks like he's had a tough life. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise you to go into his car and just find 100 empty fag packets and maybe a bottle of whiskey. You know, like those hard detectives who have a bottle of whiskey in their drawer and they break it out because they just can't crack the case. That's what he's like when he's thinking about his goalkeeping. And do you know what? I've just thought this is the perfect segue into Joe Hart.
Oh,
boom.
Brilliant.
News from the wider world of football.
Joe Hart.
Joe Hart.
Goalkeeper. England.
You, my man, are on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hose him down, guys.
I know my football. So what about Joe Hart?
Well, Ali has discovered something fascinating about Joe Hart.
Yeah, it was reported earlier in the season that the guy was letting in a lot of goals on his left-hand side. So the left-hand side, as he looks at the pitch and the ball incoming, he can't make a save on that side. So he conceded 4 goals against Roma in Torino's 4-1 loss. And they think that they found a worrying pattern. And he was criticised last summer because Gareth Bale scored a 40-yard free kick. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
It was sickening.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was on his left-hand side. And we all stood there thinking, how the fuck did that go in? Mm. How did he not save that? Well, there's been some statistics compiled on the goals that he's been letting in. And it's apparent that he just doesn't save them. And Guardiola has been aware of this. Because he deeply analyses all of his players' statistics over the previous seasons, and he's the one that has decided to take some action, and that's why he's been shipped off to Italy, and that's why they got a dogshit goalkeeper in his place.
Yeah. But he basically threw him a very nice glass paperweight in towards his left hand, and it smashed. He went, "You're out, mate." My mom-in-law gave me that. For Christmas. It's Keith Ness.
So essentially...
That's a valuable paperweight you just smash, you prick.
Essentially, he's doing a Zoolander. He can't turn left.
It would seem so. It would seem so. But it reminds me of Paul Robinson. Because...
Why?
Because Paul Robinson had massive problems down nearby to his right. He was one of the best instinctive goalkeepers I've ever seen. His shot stopping was... Yeah. Unbelievable at times.
Yeah, from a Spurs fan to a Leeds fan, yeah. I completely concur.
Yeah, and you're welcome. And the $1.5 million that we got for him, we threw it into a pit. We've not seen it since. It was great. But genuinely, his biggest problem was low down to his right.
That's interesting.
He struggled with that his entire career.
I thought it was back passes from Gary Neville.
Well, you know, and uneven pitches.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a goalkeeper's responsibility to tend his area, so to speak.
That's true.
And yes. I'm not talking about genitals.
Yeah, nice pubes.
There. But yeah.
We could have left that to the imagination of the listener.
And the thing is, but by and large, you have goalkeepers. David James, always, you were always wary of him when it came to crosses.
Yeah.
But by and large, you have goalkeepers who you think are all round great, goalkeepers who you think are good shot stoppers, mm-hmm. goalkeepers who have got good command of their box. It's rare that you can identify that a goalkeeper has a particular problem one side or the other. That you just don't see it very much no. because that's their only job.
Yeah, I wonder whether it's because, you know, you've got left-handed people, right-handed people. I don't know whether it is literally the part of the brain just can't perform the same action on one side as they can on the other. It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, they should have gone down the Rafa Nadal. Was it? No? Hang on. So both Rafa Nadal and Lionel Messi went through a similar thing because their parents are obviously a little bit psychotic. Nadal... his dad made him play every other game right-handed.
Oh, wow.
So that his backhand would be just as good as his forehand.
But that
basically.
Doesn't really explain why
no, that's why he does a double-handed backhand.
Oh, is it?
Because for basically half his junior time, he played right-handed. And so it made him just as good. And there was a period where Lionel Messi, I believe it was Messi, don't quote me on this, when he was training... would get penalised every time he touched the ball with his left foot.
Penalised? Well, that sounds a bit... What,
no, but they basically said, look, we know that you're incredible on your left foot, so every time you touch it with your left foot, you run a lap.
Whoa.
So if you want to play, you play with your right foot.
Yeah.
And that is how you become the best player in the world. By taking what you do naturally...
Yeah.
And walling that off and saying, right... be that good through hard work with what you don't do naturally.
Yeah.
And that's why people like Raheem Sterling will never be the best in the world.
No, well, it's just English players in general. They don't have the same work ethic.
No.
And
some do, obviously. We've got to give credit to people like David Beckham, who was apparently always the first on the training pitch and the last off it.
I think
he couldn't tell the time, and that's probably why.
What about Rooney, though? Because isn't there a story of when he, just after he had signed to Man United, that he was actually having a kick around with his mates in the park afterwards?
Yeah. but that's because he loves football. That's not the same as
putting
work into improving your weaknesses.
And also, that's what he was telling Colleen, because he was shagging old ladies. allegedly.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the thing is, if you look at Paul Scholes, for example... when you're that talented, there's no excuse for not being able to tackle properly.
Mm.
You know, if he'd have put half the effort that David Beckham put into everything he did, because David Beckham was good, but naturally was not even in the top 10% most gifted players.
I think he wasn't actually that gifted. I think he had a decent technique.
Incredible spatial awareness.
And yeah, he knew about players that were around him, but as a footballer, as a footballing brain, I think he was completely average.
Relatively slow.
Yeah.
But when it came down to it, he put the work in.
Yeah.
And that's what made him worthy of being in two of the best teams of the early 20th century. England captain, he was worthy of all of that because of that.
Have we had a decent England captain since?
Well, it wasn't Jordan Henderson, was it?
No. We are struggling for people worthy of... I mean, one thing I will say about Steven Gerrard, he was worthy of the armband.
Oh, that's very gracious of you.
Well, you know, he can say a lot about him, and I have said a lot about him, and it's... it's set Facebook alight.
Has it? What?
What I won't say about him is he did always care.
Yeah.
Perfect time to get around to this.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. It's the debate that everyone is debating. Who is better? Gerrard versus Lampard. After the boys gave their arguments, here are your comments. Let us know your thoughts, goodteam at foobarradio.com or on our Foobar FC page on Facebook.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, considering that was the sting that we used last time, I thought I'd bring it back because I was very happy with that production. Anyway, A few weeks back, we did Gerrard versus Lampard, you versus Matt.
I won so comprehensively, it was embarrassing. It was like when Tyson used to destroy people in the first 30 seconds, and people were going, where the fuck have I spent this money?
You were repping Lampard?
Yes.
In the red?
Yeah, and basically it was match abandoned because Bundo didn't put up a fight. It was embarrassing. But yeah, I've got some comments here. They're still coming in. This is nearly a month gone now.
You can check this out. Either go over to FUBARradio.com or check out our Facebook.
We will put it back to the top of the feed.
Yeah, it's definitely a month. It was the 27th of February we put it out, and it's the 28th today. Mm. And people today are still pissing and moaning about it.
Yeah.
There's some interesting comments. There's some positives and some negatives.
Harry Jacks. Fuck off! To which Daniel Grimble has said, can't handle the truth. That's a quote from A Few Good Men, which you've probably never seen because you're probably 14. Ben Brown, why play a simple 10-yard pass when there's a 45-yarder on the cards? That's a reference to the fact that Steven Gerrard always went for Hollywood. Daniel Towney Marnell. I mean, what the fuck sort of name is that? Seriously. Suck my fucking dick. He had no choice but to be selfish. Did you not see the fucking woodbines he was surrounded by? They wouldn't get a game for Renmore. No idea what Renmore. Most of that means.
What's Renmore?
I'm assuming Renmore is a detainment facility.
Oh, okay.
Of some sort that Daniel's got his 1 hour of Wi-Fi in.
I thought maybe he got confused with Renford Rejects.
But on that, someone has deleted all the comments on their friendship. I don't know any more than that. I just love the idea that I'm breaking up friendships. Gerard Daly, which sounds like a newspaper celebrating Stephen Gerrard, has said, Lampard for me, unbelievable player, and he smiled a bit more than Cumpface. Who I'm assuming is Stephen Gerrard. I mean, Gerard Daly would know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Lampard Weekly News isn't commenting. And finally, you know, just in interest of balance, the counsel for the defence, Owen Stephen. Fact is, the disciplinary record wasn't bad. Whether it should have been worse is inconsequential. Is it, though? Mm. If I'm saying he could have ended about half a dozen careers, does it matter whether he got a red card or not? I don't think it does. I think the fact that he could have ended those careers is the relevant point. And therefore, Owen Stephen, two first names. Don't trust people with two first names. Seriously, yeah. Rule of life. If someone's got two first names, immediately question them.
Okay.
Owen Stephen, you're full of shit.
Good team on paper.
On FUBAR Radio.
Next week, serialised in the Daily Mirror. The new autobiography from the Senegalese international who's taking the Premier League by storm. It's flying up the top seller list as fast as he flies up the wing. Yes, it's Mane on Mane. The real story of Sadio. It's a warts and all story as we show you the Mane behind the headlines. It's all about the Mane, Mane, Mane. It's all about the Mane, Mane, Mane. That's Mane in the Mirror on Monday.
FUBAR Radio presents
Subculture Club with Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne.
Matthew Horn joining us in the studio.
Good afternoon.
When I went vegetarian, one of the biggest things I missed was like the hoisin duck pancakes, crispy duck.
Sure.
They had a vegetarian version of that, fake duck. It's called fuck.
It's called fuck.
It was really yum. I ate it.
Oh,
I've got to
get me some fuck, man.
Yeah, I've got if you go into a cafe and ask for two fucks, how much that would cost?
Fucked in the mouth as well.
Oh, man, lunch was pretty expensive.
Oh, I'm absolutely full of fuck here. This is what an afternoon.
Every Friday.
Subculture Club with Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne.
From 2 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Good team on paper.
On FUBAR Radio.
Okay.
He's being rude.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then I said, put your penis away, for God's sake. This is the second time I've said no.
Cock Conversation with Rob, Deck and Bundo.
Although it's not, it's just you.
Just talking cock. Very quickly before we go on to our worthless predictions. I want to talk about Luis Fabiano. Remember Luis Fabiano?
Yeah.
He got sent off this weekend.
Why?
Because a referee gave him a yellow card. And he, as players tend to do, went charging up to him, chest out, and bumped chests. It was a quite gentle chest bump. But the referee did a Paul Alcock. Do you remember Paul Alcock against
Di
Canio?
Oh, no.
He did a Paul Alcock and stumbled backwards with a look on his face as if to say, I've just been shot. Who the fuck just shot me? And then he brandished a second yellow card and the red, right? And Danny Baker put this on his Twitter feed saying, he's been sent off for diving. The referee's diving. And I love Danny Baker. I think he's brilliant, but I think he's wrong on this.
Okay.
Because it's about time referees started saying, I'm literally untouchable on the pitch. You touch me, you're running the risk of getting sent off immediately, because I am the authority on this pitch, and
they are the law.
Yeah,
they are Judge Dredd.
You can't prod a referee in cricket. You can't prod a referee in rugby.
No,
in rugby you call him sir, for God's sake.
Well, this thing though, the referee isn't seen in football as this authoritative figure. They're seen as a person that's just causing a fucking problem for the players on the pitch.
Yeah, they're the person that's there to keep time and interrupt.
Yeah, pretty much.
And they need to be held to this higher degree of, and the thing is, after he'd sent them off, personally, I'd have sent another couple of players off, because he had players, all his teammates, there touching him and being aggressive around him and getting properly in his face. You know, like the Man United players used to... I mean, they were particularly bad at
it. They were bad at it.
Everyone used to do it.
But Chelsea were bad as well.
Yeah, but they were... You know, but I always remember Roy Keane leading a charge.
Yeah.
And it was particularly intimidatory. And I'm just glad that for once a referee had the balls to go, do you know what? No.
It looks like they're starting to stick up for the referees, though, now, because Messi has... literally today been banned for 4 games for being rude to the referee. So it looks like the powers that be, the FIFAs, they're actually starting to take some action.
Yeah, because what was he got, 4 games?
He's got 4 games banned for I think he called it, like, your mother is a cunt or something.
Really?
Yeah, I've just, yeah.
And that's in a game where he scored the winning goal. So, you know, he's in a relatively good place. But, I mean, I absolutely 100% agree with it. I mean, I'm a big rugby league fan, and in rugby league, you get a higher penalty for touching the referee than you do for knocking someone out.
Well, maybe they need to, just because it will be a big shift in culture for the players not to be able to go up to the referee. So maybe they have been talking about bringing in the sin bin.
Yeah.
So maybe it's worth starting with that. And if you talk to the ref, that's it. Well, you're out for 10 minutes.
But the thing, like in rugby, like in both codes of rugby, the captain can speak to the referee respectfully, and the player that he wants to speak to.
Yeah.
And that needs to be enforced. I'm sorry, Danny Baker. I love you, but I disagree with you wholeheartedly on this topic.
This week, coming up, we have got 2 game weeks, game week 30 and game week 31. It's not a double game week like I thought it was. So we've got 2 game weeks. Let's start off with game week 30. What do we think a...
Goalfest
will be.
I actually think the Merseyside derby's going to have a lot of goals.
Do you think?
Yeah.
It could do. I think Liverpool, though, are so strong at home. Their defensive back line, so strong. I don't think they're going to let goal in.
But they're without Lallana now. Lallana's come back injured. Henderson is touch and go.
Mm.
And, I mean, yeah, that's a bonus. and, obviously, your man Lukaku is... pretty much unstoppable at the minute.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it could be. My personal pick would be Southampton Bournemouth.
Oh.
I think that's got goals written all over it. Southampton got 2 big injuries at the back, and Bournemouth just away from home cannot stop conceding goals. So I think that's going to be a high scoring match.
Interesting. And the second batch of fixtures, I don't know. I've got a feeling for Watford West Brom.
Yeah. Actually, I'd agree with that. Yeah,
I don't know why. It's one of those fixtures that suddenly becomes like one of the games of the season, and no one can explain why. And it's just a feeling thing rather than
Looking at the other fixtures, I completely agree with that. Actually, yeah, Watford West Brom.
And there's actually not a fixture that leaps out as really shit.
So you can't think of a
Snooze Fest.
New sting. Sexy. I mean, maybe Hull Middlesbrough in midweek, but I even then, I'm not convinced.
No.
Because they've both got shit to play for.
Yeah.
That's the thing, this end of the season, everyone's got stuff to play
that's
for,
exactly
by
right.
and large.
I'd say that nothing is a snooze fest. It's all awesome.
Any players you're going to bring in?
Well, I've already got this player, but I would recommend Llorente. He's the striker who's got the weakest, who's facing two weak defences.
Interesting.
So, Llorente.
Okay.
And Dali?
No, well, I'm going to go with that because I'm going to steal it.
All right, that is your lot. Thank you very much for checking out FUBAR Radio and Good Team on Paper. I've been Mike Swain.
I'm going away. I'll see you in a month.
And I'm Ali.
Bye!
Bye!